Then said I, here am I, send me. I've prayed that prayer. I don't know if you've prayed that prayer. Here am I, Lord, would you send me? I will go for you. I will do what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Well, he's given us a whole lot that we can say already. Where do you want to go? Amen. Right here in Rome, New York. Go down to our neighbor. Well, who's our neighbor? Amen. God's already shared with us who our neighbor is, right? Somebody that was just like you who needed to know the Lord, and they're already on the ground. Somebody's already stepped on them, hurt them, and they're miserable, and they're having a hard time, just like you and I were before someone came and told us about the Lord Jesus. And so that's what God's sending us to do. And I raised my hand, and I prayed. I said, God, would you send me? And I wasn't saying send me to the Dominican Republic. I was just saying, God, would you send me? Here am I. Would you use me wherever you want me to go? And so that was a blessing. God answered that prayer. And, you know, we were in churches a lot, and people knew we were looking forward to being missionaries, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so they'd always ask, Hannah, Joshua, you know, where are you going to be a missionary to? Where are you going? And we would always say, I don't know, wherever the Lord leads. You know, and it was a constant thing for years. And my wife consistently, hey, where's the Lord leading us? I don't know, honey. I don't know yet. I got to go to work. I'll be back. And so we were praying, God, would you send us where the fields are wide in the harvest? So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 9. We were praying the Lord of the harvest. God, where do you want us to go? And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What a privilege to be a laborer in the harvest of the Lord. What an honor. The harvest truly is plenteous. Well, we're praying, God, would you send us where their fields are wide in the harvest, where there is a true plenteous harvest. And pray ye therefore, the Bible says in verse number 38, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so we were listening, we were praying, we were seeking the Lord. And now let me share with you some of these things that God did when he answered our prayer. He opened the door. We were at a Jubilee meeting in January 2016, I think it was, 2015, one of those. We went 3 or 4 years in a row, just preachers coming and going, sharing the word, eating dinner together about 3 or 4 days there at the beginning of the year. And so there was multiple nights. Nothing unusual. We went there anyway in Perry, Florida. But one evening, waiting in the lunch line, there was a man in front of me. His name was Tim Parrish. Didn't know him at the time, but he introduced himself, and we got to talking about missions. And here's the door that God opens. He'll use people, amen. And Tim turned around and says, I got a missions trip. You know, we're going to the Dominican Republic. We got 3 seats. Do you want to go? And I was like, well, I need 6. I got 6 in my family. I need 6 seats. No, I'd like to go on a missions trip, but I need 6. So that night went by, and went and talked to my wife, prayed about it some more, and thought, well, maybe my wife and I could go. Amen. We're wanting to be missionaries. Let's just go. And the Lord's got to work out this situation with our children. You know, we don't like to have our children just go anywhere. So God's got to work that out. Well, he did. God worked it out. We got to go. We didn't know where the Dominican Republic was. We had to look that up on a map. Didn't have any idea. And so my wife and I went to the Dominican Republic, and we brought John and Romans. We brought Chick Chacks. We brought all this literature so we could hand out, pass it out like we do here in the States. But like I said, you know, even then, you know, that was in June. I wasn't saying, okay, look what God's done. You know, we're going to go to the Dominican Republic and be missionaries. No, I was just excited that we could go on a missions trip because we're talking about being missionaries. What a blessing. And so while we're there, still praying this prayer, you know, God, would you send us where the fields are wide in the harvest? Well, God sent us with a pastor from Ludowice, Georgia. God sent us with a pastor from Blackshear, Georgia, another one from South Carolina, and then an evangelist, a blind evangelist, Kurt LeBeau. I don't know if you know him or not, singing an evangelist. So there we are in the midst of these people that love the Lord in the ministry, and I'm still working a full-time job and all. But they're all hearing about our desire to be in missions and all that, and they're looking around at Santo Domingo, and they're watching as we're passing out tracts and seeing the hunger of these people. And they're looking at us saying, you know, God's going to call you to come here. I'm thinking, well, we'll see what God says. I'm not going to listen. We'll see about that. But there was a tremendous response. We would hand out tracts, and all the time the people are smiling. They're smiling, and they're saying gracias, and that's thank you in Spanish. We would hand them to those people, and they would slow down on their motorcycles. Some of them wouldn't even slow down, but they'd reach out their arms. There's a bus that one of my buddies went on, and he gave it to the bus driver. The bus driver stopped things and said, hey, anybody want one of these? And they all raised their hands, so he went on the bus and handed them all out. Just a tremendous hunger for God's word there, and God started to show us some pretty amazing things. That was just my wife and I. So then we had opportunity. We were Tim Parrish was the fellow that invited us to go, and he was on deputation himself. He's in Thailand now. He was a pastor for 16 years, and now he's in the missions. God put him into missions. But at the time, he was on deputation, so he was sharing with my wife and I, hey, here's what you need to do. And we weren't quite there yet. We were going to get there. We started 7 months ago. But he shared with us, here's what you need to do next. You need to go somewhere else. Just go somewhere else. You come here once, that's good. You need to go somewhere else. Just kind of, whether it's Dominican Republic or anywhere else. Well, he invited us to go to the Philippines with him. And for multiple reasons, God made it clear that I didn't need to go to the Philippines. And I can talk to you about that sometime. But Lord will lead you. He'll guide you. And so we were on the way home. And we weren't going to go to the Philippines, but I mean, maybe the Lord will open a door for us to go somewhere else. This is just my wife and I. God worked it out for our kids to go somewhere with family and friends. And so on the way home, Spirit Airlines, you know, they're making an announcement. Anybody want to sign up here and you get 3 free tickets? And I was like, well, I told him the same thing I told Tim Parrish. I was like, I got 6 in my family. 3's not going to get me anywhere. And he turned to my wife. He says, you can sign up too, and you get 6 free tickets. And so this is just a little open door, right? So we signed up, and the Lord worked it out. We came back, and this time we brought all of our family. And I'm still saying, same time, hey, this is an open door. We're just going to go where the doors are open. Yeah, I'm not saying God's leading us to the Dominican Republic. I wasn't there yet. My wife, she was a little bit more sensitive and understood some of those things. So we went back, and this time we brought our boys. And what a blessing. When you go be a missionary, you just can't go by yourself. You need to bring your children. They got to come with you. They got to be willing to go. And so that was a big deal for us. I don't know about you, but that was a big deal for us to actually bring our boys with us on a missions trip. And so they got to come, and on Monday of that, they got to come for a week. And on Monday of that week, the very first day, God worked it out. I didn't orchestrate it. A missionary called and said, hey, we got some children over here. You want to bring your kids over, and they can play in the backyard? Well, it's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal. These are missionary kids that just got invited. Our boys just got invited to go play in their backyard. That was Monday, the first day of the week. So that was a blessing, okay? And then they got to pass out tracts, John and Romans, just like we did, and really enjoyed learning the language. And you'll see some of that. We're going to show the video here in a few minutes. And they got to experience that. And then on Friday that week, wouldn't you know it, just happened to be the same week we were there. It just so happened that, you know, the Caribbean director, the BIMI director for the Caribbean knew that we were in town, and he was in town, and he was going to have a pizza party just that same exact week we were there. So he invited us to come, and so we went again on Friday and met up with all the other missionaries and missionary kids. And our boys saw some of those same families, had a blast, and got to meet some other kids. And, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal for us. I mean, we were only there for a week, and we're looking forward to being missionaries. And one of my boys came back that evening and says, Dad, I'm on a blast. I don't want to go home. We stay here. And I know that was just a special circumstance, but I'm telling you what, God's just opening these doors left and right. And let me tell you about one more thing, and you can watch forward in the video. So look, and if you want to cue that up, you can get that ready. But look for the response of the people when we're handing and passing these tracts out. You'll see the same thing I'm talking about. And then there was an impromptu service on a Friday night. You'll be watching some of that happen right across from the place where we were staying. There was a service going on, and the store owner let us rent the place. We got some chairs and rented. We shared the gospel. Praise the Lord. And there's a translator there. And those heard the gospel just like you and I. And when they heard the gospel, hey, God was working on their hearts. There's 3 or 4 people asked God to have mercy and save them that night. I mean, right there in San Diego, right where we were. So all this to say that God was leading my wife and I and our children to the Dominican Republic. Continues to open doors to go there. And so that Friday night, after my boys said what they said, and after we saw the response and how people are hungry for the Word of God, I think I would have been foolish to say that God was sending us anywhere else. God was sending us to Africa. We thought about going to Africa. God was sending us to Iceland. You know, we had a missionary come from Iceland. He says, we need a Christian family to come to Iceland. There aren't any. There are no monogamous families in Iceland. We need someone. And we're like, pick us, because we're getting close. We'll come. But the Lord never opened that door, so I would have been foolish to say after all that God did, and there was many, many more things I don't have time to tell you, how he opened all these doors for us to go to the Dominican Republic. And so we're just grateful and thankful and honored that God would send us, and just want to share just a little bit of that with you. Why are you going to the Caribbean? Well, that's why. We were up in Alaska for 6 weeks, and that was one of the first questions everybody wanted to ask. Why are you going down the Caribbean? You know, because they're up in cold country and all. But, you know, we want to go where the Lord leads. That's the bottom line. we just want to go where the Lord leads, and God continues to do that, and what a blessing. So y'all watch this, just show you just a little bit of some of the things that we saw, and give you a perspective on that, and then we'll share just a little bit more in a moment.
The Dominican Republic has little in common with its impoverished neighbor. It boasts a robust economy driven by recent growth in construction, manufacturing, and tourism. With an annual average temperature of 77 degrees, it is the number one tourist destination in the Caribbean. A geographically diverse nation, the Dominican Republic is home to both the Caribbean's tallest mountain peak, Pico Duarte, and the Caribbean's largest lake and point of lowest elevation, Lake Enriquillo. The country is also the site of the first cathedral built in all of the Americas, located in Santo Domingo's colonial zone. But having the first cathedral has not guaranteed a righteous heritage. Roman Catholicism still holds a majority sway in the country, and the cults are making inroads every year. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" To this needy land, Joshua and Hannah Corner and their four boys have heard and responded to this call of God. Their desire for missions has been honed in their hearts through ministering to the lost, searching the scriptures, and walking by faith. Joshua was saved out of a broken home at an early age while attending Sunday school. He had the privilege of attending a Christian school, which continued to nurture a desire for gospel ministry in his heart. Opportunities to preach, teach, and minister in his home church have allowed Joshua to seal the call of God to missions. Hannah was saved as a teenager after years of doubt and rebellion. The Holy Spirit used a simple tract to convince Hannah that she needed to have a real relationship with a real Savior. After meeting and marrying Joshua, the Lord confirmed in their hearts a desire for missions. They began to pray for wisdom as to when and where. It was a church mission trip to the Dominican Republic that answered the question of where. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." When the Corners arrived in the Dominican Republic, it did not take them long to see the great need, as well as the great opportunity before them. Street preaching and tract distribution became the most effective means of gospel ministry. The hearts and hands of the Dominicans were very receptive, and the sheer numbers of people encouraged the short-term missionaries. There was also opportunity for open-air evangelistic services, which were well attended. The Corner children also enjoyed being involved in many aspects of mission work. This gave them a great anticipation of someday calling this place home. Behind the veneer of tourism, the Dominican Republic seems like any other third-world country. There are many poor and impoverished Dominicans, but their greatest need continues to be salvation. The Corners rejoiced in the opportunity to give the living bread that would completely satisfy a spiritually hungry people. God used this short-term mission trip to confirm His call to the Corner family. They are following the Lord as He directs them to set their sights on long-term mission work in the Dominican Republic. Their goal is to plant independent, evangelistic New Testament churches in the capital city of Santo Domingo. This will be accomplished through Bible studies, evangelism, bus ministries, and working with national pastors to bring many Dominicans to Jesus Christ. A strong discipleship program will eventually turn each busload of nationals into a new church plant within the city. Repeating this process just a couple miles down the road will result in many churches being established in each suburb of the congested capital. The same could then be accomplished in various regions outside the Santo Domingo area as well. A door has also been opened for Joshua to be the Caribbean director and eventually train other missionaries to do the same church planning, not just in the Dominican Republic, but in other Caribbean countries. The Corner family is sent out by Fellowship Baptist Church of Panama City, Florida, and are serving through Trinity Fundamental Fellowship Ministries International, a ministry of Trinity Baptist Church in Ludowice, Georgia.
Hello, I'm Don Markham, pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church of Panama City, Florida. It's with great pleasure that I'm able to recommend Joshua Corner and his family. God has led Joshua and his family to serve the local community here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and they've shown a real love for the Lord and a dedication to reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Would you please consider investing in the Corners ministry as they seek to reach the people of the Caribbean with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
The Dominican Republic is in many ways a tropical paradise. But behind this facade are a lost people that are hungry for God's word. Joshua and Hannah have seen this firsthand and are answering God's call. Will you pray and support them as they obey the Lord in bringing the life-giving message of the gospel to the Dominican Republic?
Thing I need to tell you about, also as we were passing out those tracks, we went down, it happened both in June and in September, we went down the road, handed out some John and Romans in June, got finished that road, came back, and here they were, these two, well, there's three or four. 20-year-old men sitting on top of an unfinished building reading the John and Romans we just gave them. I mean, just hungry for the Word of God. And then it happened again in September. We were going down the end of the hotel that we were staying in. Turned around, came back, and it was lunch break, and these two men that we just handed Gideon's New Testament to and a Chick Tract just sitting on the grass during the lunch break reading what we just handed to them. I'm just, God's just showing us tremendously how these people are hungry for the Word of God, and we're excited to be able to go and do that. So what are we going to do when we get there? You heard a little bit about it in the video. In one word, church plant, with the Lord's help, that's it. Just church plant. Just go share Jesus with people, and God's going to open that door. In Santo Domingo, there's 3 million people, so opportunities abound. You saw and heard about their transportation. It's not like America. You don't drive 3 miles to church. You don't have a car to drive to bring your family to church. You're local. That's where you are. And so God could use that tremendously to start a church. You know what? Bring a bus. Amen. Just bring a bus down there and get, you know, 50 people, right? Just right down here, just 2 blocks away. Bring them to this church. The Lord will save them. God will have mercy and save them. Amen. They'll get grounded, rooted in the Word of God. And now what? Now you got your first church plant right here. Just 2 blocks down the road. And then you repeat all the way around the city. You know, for the glory of God. God, that's an idea. You know, we're just going where the Lord leads. And that's one of the things that came up when we were down there. I was talking to the national pastor. But I wanted to share that with you. That's what we're going to do with the Lord's help. That's what we want to do. I need to share with you one more thing, and then we'll get into a short Sunday school lesson. So, why are we in missions? You know, why are we going? Why am I here today standing before you? Been on the road for 8 months. Why are we doing this? It's because of what God did for me. Let me tell you about it. I was a young boy, I was about 10 years old, and I heard the gospel for the first time. In Sunday school, I also heard about it in Vacation Bible School down in Ohio. The Lord had mercy. Shared with me about Jesus coming from heaven. Amen. And he came and he died on the cross. He paid for my sins. He paid for our sins. But that morning, he was showing me that he paid for my sins. And I knew I was guilty. I knew I broke his commands. And I knew God was having a time of conviction with me right there. He was saying, Josh, you're going to receive my son. And he was also mentioning Jesus Christ. You know, what are you going to do about Jesus, Josh? You're going to accept him or you're going to reject him? Gift of eternal life for you. What are you going to do? And so I was guilty. I was broken. And it was Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher said, anybody want to get saved, raise your hand. And so I raised my hand. She did that every Sunday. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, draw the net. I recommend draw the net every Sunday. But God used that Sunday in particular because he was dealing with me. So I raised my hand. She took me up to the preacher's study, showed me in the scriptures how I could be saved. Amen. And God, I'm still learning today all the things that God did, you know, back on that one day. What a blessing, what a hope, what a joy. That's why I'm here. Amen. That's why we're going to the Dominican Republic. That's why we got feet to walk and eyes to see and hands to wave, you know, so we can go and share the good news of what God's done for me. You know, and he's going to do that for someone else. So I wanted to share that with you. That's a blessing. Maybe you don't know the Savior. Amen. Maybe you're sitting here today and you haven't met the Savior and God's convicting you before and you did not accept his son. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's still time. Amen. There's still time left. If you haven't received that gift, there's still a gift available to you. It's not too late. And so don't go home today without doing that, all right? Okay, let's get into the Sunday school lesson. Just a short one this morning. I know we only have about 5, 6, 7 minutes, so we'll just take the 5, 6, 7 minutes and look at one of the aspects of missions when we go there. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 10. So if you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, we're just going to look at verse number 14. And I like class participation, so y'all have your Bibles. I'll give you opportunity to read. Amen. But Romans 10:14 says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so the subject for this morning has to do with belief. Because what we're doing when we go down to the Dominican Republic and what we're doing on deputation is telling the good news of the gospel of peace. The gospel of Jesus Christ is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. You know, the death, burial, and the resurrection. But they won't believe unless they first hear. And there's faith operating in those things. I want somebody, could somebody please read 2 Corinthians 5:7? And then would somebody else please read Romans 16:25? Anybody have 2 Corinthians 5:7?
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Okay. So this is talking about the Christian walk, the Christian life. Somebody have Romans 16:25? Go ahead and read verse 25 and 26, please. All right, so here we are reading Romans 16 about all nations for the obedience of faith. And in 2 Corinthians 5, we're reading about walking by faith. What's this faith? It has to do with belief. And what do you believe? What do you, is it the Word of God? Do you believe what you heard? Do you believe what's spoken here in the Word of God? Let's go look at John 3:16. Talk about belief. Belief is a vast subject in the Scriptures, but belief occurs in a certain place in the Scriptures. But I would like to, if you don't mind, look at a couple verses here. John 3:16, would somebody read that? And then Romans 1:16. And so there's a whole lot packed into that verse, but the one phrase I wanted to focus on this morning is whosoever believeth. There's a requirement here in John 3:16, and we read about the requirement of the obedience of faith in Romans 16 and walking by faith in 2 Corinthians 5, but the requirement in John 3:16 is belief. Whosoever believeth. And so what are we going to go down the Dominican Republic? What are we going to do on the way here? We're going to share some things that these people believe. We're going to share some truths. We're going to share the gospel of peace. And what? If you believe, right? This has a lot to do with belief. Missions has a whole lot to do with belief. Somebody read Romans 1:16. Amen. So there it is again, belief. And remember in Romans 10:14, we said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And so we're going to go and publish and tell of the good news of the gospel so that they can believe, so that they can have everlasting life. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's what this is, missions is all about. Share some truths that people can believe. The truth, amen, about Jesus Christ. Now, somebody also please read John 20:27, and then someone else Romans 3:22, and then Romans 4:5. So here you find a verse where you actually have the word faith and the word believing in the same verse. And they're correlated, amen? Because what we believe, that's what we walk by. We walk by our faith, and that's what we believe. And where do you have your beliefs? I hope from God's Word. I hope that's where you have your beliefs. And that's what we want to publish when we go down to the Dominican Republic. That's what we want to do when we're on the way here. Somebody read Romans 3:22. You see that? The righteousness of God. Amen. We can go and offer the righteousness, what? The righteousness of God to these people. How? Upon all them that believe. So we can go tell them the good news of the gospel. We can share with them the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can believe unto righteousness. Huh? Isn't that what the Lord's done for you and me? Amen. That's what we're doing in missions. What's it say in Romans 4:5? Somebody look up Hebrews 11:6 while we're at it. So there it is. That's how you get it, right? Your faith is counted for righteousness by what? By believing on who? Hallelujah. The one that came from heaven, his name is Jesus, the Son of God. You believe on him. Hey, what happens when you believe on him? That justifieth the ungodly. Are you ungodly? You can't believe unless you're ungodly. Amen. You're not a candidate to be saved unless you're lost. Amen. So that's why we have to share with our children Hey, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not, the law will convict them. They'll find out they're sinners, amen. And once they're sinners, glory, hallelujah, now they're a candidate, they can start to believe on a Savior. Hey, that's what we're looking forward to doing down in the Dominican Republic and on the way here. So have you believed? Amen. And believing, remember in Romans 10, believing what? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Somebody's got to tell them. Now what about your neighbor? Amen. Who's going to tell your neighbor? Because your neighbor needs to believe too. Did you believe once? Do you remember the day in which you believed? Somebody told you about Jesus and you believed. Do you remember that? Now who's going to tell your neighbor? Huh? Glory, hallelujah. We're going to go down to the Dominican Republic and share Jesus. What are you going to do in Rome, New York? Amen. People need to believe here in Rome, New York too. Just like in the Dominican Republic. So you look in the New Testament. Every single book in the New Testament talks about belief or faith. 2 John is the only exception. Every other book does. John, the book of John, has the most. The book of John. And hallelujah, praise the Lord. I love the whole Word of God. Amen. I enjoy the book of John as well. But let's go to John chapter 3. And please start reading someone in verse number 15. Well, let's go, tell you what, go back up to verse number where it talks about Jesus coming from heaven, tell you of heavenly things. Go to that verse, start in that verse. John 3, at least verse 12 maybe.
If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses
Amen. So what we're reading here, verse number 12 tells us, are not earthly things. Jesus came down from heaven, did he not? Verse number 13, the Son of Man. He came down from heaven, and he's speaking what? Of heavenly things. Huh? Hallelujah. And so what are we doing? We are giving a... We're seeing a record of something that came from heaven. Now, I would just call this a meeting. These are meeting minutes. John chapter 3 is the meeting minutes of a meeting that happened in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost had a meeting, and we're reading the record of that heavenly meeting because there's a heavenly message that came out of that meeting. Now, look what it says in verse number 15. Well, 13 and 14 are good too, amen. 15 says, whosoever believeth, because we're talking about believing. And there's no criteria on who can believe. It's just the whosoever. Amen? And so whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That came out of the meeting minutes from heaven. Hey, this meeting happened way back because we read earlier in different parts of the scriptures, and we don't have time to go there, but you can ask me about it later. An eternity passed, amen, before the world began. Who? God sent forth a son. Yeah. God was thinking about this long ago, even before the earth was created. What? The salvation of man. How are we gonna save the souls of men? And they had a meeting in heaven, and this is a record of those minutes in the heaven. Amen. He says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now read the next verse, somebody please. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. This is a grand verse, but this verse tells us why God wanted to save. Because he loved the world. God tells us how he's going to save. From the meeting they had in heaven, that he gave his only begotten son. And it also tells us how we can get saved, whosoever believeth in him. And then the word, the same message, amen, this is a record meeting from heaven, minutes, tells us why. God wants us to be saved. Should not perish. I don't know about you, but God was thinking about you and I perishing long before we ever existed on this earth. And he sent his son so that you and I wouldn't have to perish. A record. These are things that were spoken of in heaven. And now Jesus came down from heaven and told you of these heavenly things. Huh? And that's the message that we can go and tell others. Amen. Now what else does it say? But have everlasting life. Glory, hallelujah. Do you know Jesus? Are you walking with Jesus? He is life. He is everlasting life. Hey, have you been eternally saved? Have you been, glory, hallelujah, have you been forgiven? Well, you know Jesus, and not only do you know Jesus, but he knows you, and you walk with him. It's that fellowship with the one who is life. That's what eternal life is. That's the present possession that God has given us, a fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's our advocate before the Father. Hallelujah. What else does this record tell us? In verse number, somebody read verse number 17 and 18. We'll be done. You see how important it is in this record of these meetings, of the minutes that came from heaven, that we need to believe? You see how important it is? Repeated over and over, you can read about it more in other places in the scriptures, but verse number 18 tells us not only about those who do believe, but the alternative is him that believeth not. All right, so there's those that believe, and then there's those that believe not. Amen? And so we're to go out, and we're to speak the truth. We are to give the truth. We are to tell the message of hope of this meeting in heaven, of the Son of God, of Jesus the Savior, that the world might be saved by believing on him. And then there's those that believe not. I hope you're not in here this morning, one that hasn't believed. Glory, hallelujah, God can convict you and you can become a believer, hallelujah. But we need to go and tell that message. All right, so let's go back to Romans 10 and we'll finish up. Romans 10, verse number 16. Verse number 16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Obedience. That's not the only place the scripture talks about obeying the message, the truth. For Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" There's that belief again. I want you to notice verse number 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Who's going to go tell them? Who's going to give them that message of hope? We are, hallelujah. We're going to go and share Jesus with those people so that they can hear and believe. The same as we. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, God, for your precious word in the book of John and 2 Corinthians and other places. God, we thank you for the record of the minutes in heaven there, Lord God, how that you thought about us. You didn't desire that we should perish, but God, that we would have eternal life. And so you gave, because you loved us so much, your only begotten Son. Father, we thank you for that privilege and that honor. God, we give you glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving for your wonderful gift. Father, for your mercy and for your grace. Father, we just give thanksgiving unto you this morning. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to present, Father, what you're doing in our hearts and our ministry, Lord, down in the Caribbean, your ministry and what you're doing. Father, we praise you and thank you for that. God, we rejoice in, Lord, the ministry that's going on here in Friendship Baptist Church. And we pray that you continue to bless and do your mighty work here in the hearts of your people. Lord, that this church will be a lighthouse, Father, to all of Rome, New York, and proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace and glad tidings of good things. And we'll thank you and praise you for these things. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.